Today is in the church calendar is Passion Sunday, or the first Sunday of Passion, when we think especially of the journey to the cross that Jesus made. Now, of course, the journey to the cross didn't start then. It started, in fact, right back to Bethlehem. When he was born, the angels said to the shepherds, "A Savior has been born to you." And being a Savior, the only way he could be a Savior was to die. When Simeon met him in the temple, he said to Mary, "A sword will pierce your soul." I'm sure that Mary remembered that when she saw Jesus dying on the cross. But even further back than that, before he was born, went back in eternity, Jesus' journey to the cross began when he decided he would come to earth to save humanity from their sins. So the journey to the cross began way back in the beginning of time. And we only just think about this as being the journey to the cross in the next couple of weeks, don't we? It's good to focus on it, of course. But in these next 2 weeks, we think about how Jesus journeyed to Jerusalem and how the cross loomed its shadow over him in those last couple of weeks. If we were reading the story for the very first time, we would be shocked at how it turned out, wouldn't we? Coming from another planet, maybe. Story of Jesus being born, going about doing good, doing miracles, teaching about God's love, and then ending up like this. Who would have believed it would end up like that? No one would believe it would happen. It would be absolutely shocking. The final outcome would shock anyone who didn't know it already. This wasn't some cruel twist of fate, not a sad end to a promising career. It was God's plan that Jesus should die. It was all prophesied. It was God's plan from the beginning that Jesus should come and be the Savior, go to the cross for us. So there's nothing accidental or tragic about it. It was planned. The incident we read about this afternoon actually came after Palm Sunday in John's Gospel, but we could miss this, couldn't we? We have Palm Sunday, then Easter, and so I thought it would be good to talk about this today, because Palm Sunday comes and we'd miss it. But this happened just after Palm Sunday, when Jesus had been hailed as a king in Jerusalem to the crowds that thronged his way, and it seemed as though they would make him king by force. Jesus knew, of course, what was going to happen. He wasn't fooled by that. This came just after Lazarus was raised from the dead. And this has caused quite a stir among the enemies of Jesus, of course. In fact, it says in John's Gospel, they wanted to kill Lazarus as well as Jesus to destroy the evidence, if you like. It upset their plans very much. So the crowds on Palm Sunday would have crowned him king. The Pharisees were getting more and more concerned about it, and they were plotting behind the scenes how they could bring an end to this man's life who was causing so much upset. And if we go back a moment to some of what we read just now. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." They were very frustrated, weren't they? Then into the scene came these Greeks. Now, these Greeks were obviously converts to Judaism. They were coming up to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. They'd heard about Jesus. They said, "We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." When Jesus was told, he made what we may seem at first was a strange reply. He said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." I'm sure the Greeks heard this when he said that. And then he went on to say, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus knew that he had to go to the cross, and just when you sow your seeds in the garden, the seeds die, don't they? And if you dig them up after a while, you see it's just a moldy or rotten bit of stuff there, but they give new life as the stalk grows from it. Whenever seeds are sown, they have to die to produce fruit. Jesus said that was what it was like for him. His body would die, but it would produce fruit. And In Isaiah chapter 53, the Living Bible version, I thought this spoke about this, the fruit of his suffering. when he sees all that's accomplished by the anguish of his soul, he shall be satisfied. So Jesus knew what was going to happen through his death on the cross. Millions of people would find new life in him. That would be the fruit of his suffering. It would be worthwhile. His suffering was worth it. That's why he went to the cross, to produce that fruit of millions of people. Still today, millions of people around the world are coming to know him, the new life he gives. So he died. His body was buried, and it brought new life. His resurrection, of course, happened as well. And because of his resurrection, all believers will be resurrected too. So God would use the hate and rejection of his enemies to accomplish the plan of salvation. All the enemies did were actually being used in God's plan to bring about salvation. They didn't know it, but that's what God was doing. In Hebrews, we read that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And it wasn't a happy experience, but Jesus knew that because of his death, many people would be saved. So for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Then we hear that a voice came from heaven. Now, there's only three times, as far as I know, in the New Testament, when God spoke audibly that everyone could hear. One was the baptism of Jesus, one the Mount of Transfiguration, and this occasion here. And this, Jesus prayed, "Father, glorify your name." And the voice came, "I have glorified it, and will glorify it again." How would he do this? Through the cross. That's how God would glorify his Son and his name, through the cross. But God's voice wasn't recognized by most people, was it? They said, "Thunder," or "It's an angel speaking." Some recognized it was God's voice, but they didn't want to recognize it was God's voice. They thought it was thunder. Now, often when God speaks, people don't recognize it. They don't want to hear it sometimes, do they? Look at the wonderful creation around us. God speaks through creation, but most people think it's just an accident. God's speaking through the creation to us, and the wonder of the glory of creation around us. But how many people recognize it? But Jesus told the people the voice was for their benefit, not his, but for their benefit. They could hear God speaking and justifying his Son and supporting his Son, what he was going to do. It was there for their benefit. They would listen to it and respond to it, not for his benefit. It would confirm who he was as the Son of God. He was willing to suffer and die for their sins. And we must never play down the cross. It's an offense to some people, the cross. It reminds us of our sin, offends our pride, but the cross is central to our faith. And that's why we mustn't play it down, whatever people may think. It's nothing new, of course. In Corinthians, Paul says about the offense of the cross, doesn't he? And in many countries today, the cross is offensive to people. Even our country, some people. But the cross is the reason why we're here, because Jesus died for us. That's why we're here. Wouldn't be here if it weren't for the cross, would we? So we must never play it down. Now, we often think that judgment is in the future. It is certainly, but Jesus said judgment is now. Now is the prince of this world judged. He will be judged by the cross and resurrection. That's when the judgment will come. That's when the death knell of sin and death will be finished there. We know it's going to be worked out in the future, but it was decided at Calvary and on Easter Day. The final outcome on the battle against evil is decided. It's settled once and for all. So judgment is in future, but it was also judgment then. And those of us who are Christians, of course, our judgment is past. It was on the cross. Paul says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because we've been set free. Through the cross, the true horror of sin was revealed. The power of Satan was broken. Sin and evil was exposed and judged. And its final destiny was decided there and then. Evil cannot win. Satan cannot win. God's kingdom will come, without a doubt, in the future. We can be sure of that. The time will come when Jesus will be crowned and glorified. But before he wears a crown of glory, he had to wear a crown of thorns as he went to Calvary. That was the crown he had to wear, first of all, the crown of thorns for us. We sometimes see pictures of Jesus walking to the cross, looking very upright and healthy, you know, but it wasn't like that at all, was it? He'd been beaten within an inch of his life, covered in blood, no doubt. Couldn't even carry his cross, it was so heavy for him. So Jesus was almost dead before he went to the cross. He'd been beaten so badly, so suffering so much, even before the agonizing death he faced. But he was willing to bear that for us because there was no other way than doing it for us. But that was how he was glorified, you see. He had to go through the suffering, through the cross, and then through the resurrection to victory. And when he comes again, everyone will see the victory won, won't they? Who would have called that glory? That death on the cross. Who would have said that was glory? But we sometimes say, in the cross of Christ, our glory. Because it is. That's why we have crosses in our church. Someone once said, if Julius Caesar came back to London today, what would surprise him most would be the cross of St. Paul's Cathedral. Why? Well, to him, the cross was an instrument of torture and death, you see. But we have a cross. Why would we have a cross displayed? Because Jesus sanctified the cross. And it's now a thing of glory, not a thing of shame. Because Jesus was willing to go the way of the cross, he was glorified. He's now exalted at God's right hand, King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, he walked a lonely road. Sometimes it's lonely for us as Christians, isn't it? Jesus said, whoever serves me must follow me. Sometimes it's lonely, being a Christian, the only Christian maybe in a place of work, college or school maybe, standing up for what we believe when it's unpopular. So it can be lonely. Jesus knows what it's like to be lonely. So if we follow him, we can expect sometimes to be lonely. It's a lonely thing sometimes, but it's the right way. Self-denial is not popular, is it? Deny yourself, really. Look after number one. That's the thing these days, isn't it? Put yourself first. Self-denial, most people would laugh at it. It's all about pleasing yourself. But the way of Jesus turns everything on its head, doesn't it? Christian life is countercultural. It's not just spending an hour in church on Sunday. It's full commitment Jesus wants from us, fully committed to him. Following him can sometimes be lonely, but it will be worth it in the end. We can be sure of that. But if our faith's in him, then we're never alone, really. He's always with us. His Spirit's with us. Even in life's most difficult times and life's struggles, he is always there. And even if we can't feel it. The thing is, let's depend on feelings. You see, feelings let us down, can't they? You don't feel like coming to church. Yes, you will. Come to church. If you don't feel like it, you need to do it. Because feelings can let us down. So our faith is founded on facts, not feelings. Fact is, God loves us. Fact is, Jesus died for us. Fact is, in him we are totally forgiven. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Fact, Jesus has conquered sin and death and his kingdom will triumph. Those are facts. So if you're feeling a bit low sometimes, don't depend on your feelings. Base your faith on facts, because the facts don't change. Feelings change, facts don't change. So don't rely on feelings, rely on your facts. These facts are eternal facts. So if we take that step of faith, decide to follow him, he'll give us the grace to be faithful. The power of the Spirit to help us through life's difficult times. Not an easy road always, is it? But it's the right road. That's what matters. When we consider Jesus' determination to walk that lonely road to the cross, we must surely understand why we must be single-minded in our faith. Follow him wherever he leads us. In the end, it will be worth it. In our reading, we read about some people asking to see Jesus, those Greeks. Our prayer must be that people will say that to us. We want to see Jesus and pray God will help them to see him in us, in our lives. Someone once said that they may not read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they read the Gospel according to you and me. And that's when our lives matter, isn't it? So they can see that in us. So let's ask God to help us to follow him closely, to be fully committed, and remember where we're going.